Well, a happy Trinity Sunday. Often mentioned to folks that, yes, next week is Trinity Sunday, and receiving, oh, that's nice, dear. It's not exactly a Hallmark holiday. Haven't seen any happy Trinity cards. It's still important, though, and somewhat confusing. One inspiring theologian in history is Julian of Norwich, who lived in the late 14th and early 15th centuries. Very little is known of her biography or even her true name. She lived in a secluded room attached to the Church of St. Julian in Norwich, England, which many have speculated had led to the name Julian because of her association with the parish. She followed what we call the anchorite tradition, meaning she separated herself from the world to focus completely on prayer, study, meditation, and the counseling of those who sought her wisdom. Now, Julian lived in a time when the plague was rampant in Europe, killing nearly one-third of the population. And at the age of 30, she had what we might call a near-death experience, during which she prayed to spend her last hours experiencing Christ's passion. She recorded 16 visions, which began with encountering Christ on the cross. But instead of remaining in that place of suffering and grief, she was overwhelmed by the experience of God's love. And in her writing about these visions, we find this about her experience with the Holy Trinity. She said, "The Trinity suddenly filled my heart with the greatest joy, and I understood that in heaven it will be like that forever for those who come there. For the Trinity is God, God is the Trinity. The Trinity is our maker and protector. The Trinity is our dear friend forever, our everlasting joy and bliss through our Lord Jesus Christ." We should find Julian's experience with the Trinity to be inspiring, comforting, and frankly challenging, because she experiences the Trinity not as an academic doctrine or liturgical symbol, but as her living, personal God, active in a deeply personal and intimate relationship. And I'll hazard a guess that for many of us, the Trinity is not the first name for God we think of or use. And we probably don't have Julian's feelings of a personal and intimate encounter and relationship with the Holy Trinity. Instead, we see the name Holy Trinity kind of reserved for formal prayers, liturgical worship, or theological classes. But the neglect of naming God as Trinity is our loss, because bound into the name Trinity is the entire identity, nature, and truth about God. Now, it's important to note that the doctrine of the Trinity, while not systematically expressed in the Bible, was not created out of nowhere. It's an expression of the way Jesus spoke about the Father, Himself, and the Spirit. See, a lot of questions arise with Jesus' resurrection and ascension. For example, what happens when the incarnation ends? Was the revelation of God in Jesus available only for those who had firsthand experience of the historical Jesus? Is Jesus' revelation of God limited to one moment in history, or does it have a future beyond its particular historical moment? Well, the love of God made known in the incarnation continues into the life of post-resurrection communities, into us through the gift of the Spirit. Jesus and God sent the Spirit to communities as a whole, not just to individuals. And the farewell discourse in John, from which we have been reading these weeks, positions the Spirit as the link between the historical ministry of Jesus and the future life of the church after Jesus' death, which includes us. The Spirit is key in Jesus' preparation of his disciples for their new life after his return to God. The Spirit is the ongoing presence of Jesus and God in future communities here as teacher and witness. Now, when we call on the Spirit, when we call on one member of the Trinity, we get all three. One member doesn't answer while the others kick back. The three are inseparable. Now, back to this doctrine of Trinity. Well, it was developed after Paul wrote the letter to the church in Rome. And again, Paul is not writing as a systematic theologian. That job description didn't exist then. Paul is writing as a pastor, trying to figure out how all the nations can get along. So both Romans and the doctrine of the Trinity call us into a deeper understanding of what a truly interconnected relationship looks like. Members of the Trinity live in relationship flowing in and out of one another. Yes, they are each distinct, but connected in a way we don't necessarily understand, but we can appreciate. For us, we know God's peace through Jesus. We know God's love and truth through the Spirit. The Spirit pours God's love into our hearts. We are justified. We have peace. We experience the outpouring of God's love. And that interconnectedness, interdependency even, of the Trinity, God, Jesus, Spirit, provides an example for our interconnectedness, our dependent relationship with the Trinity, with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, which can be awkward, even downright confusing, in a culture dominated by self-reliance. How can this model of, frankly, radical interconnectedness be the model for our lives? Well, what if we declared ourselves to be dependent on God and the other, and put in any others you can think of there? Well, what if we viewed the other, from whom we remain disconnected, to be folks to whom we are actually connected? It could change a lot of our common practices. As we learn from John, the Spirit is given in love to provide comfort and guidance, to keep a relationship going. Even when the person of Jesus is not present in the skin, we remain connected with the Trinity. God is Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified and was raised and now lives. God is the one who raised Jesus from the dead and with whom Jesus abides. God is the one who calls us together into community, who changes hearts and lives, who empowers faith and love, and sends us into the world to bless others as we are blessed. But God also remains the one who created, creates, and sustains everything, who liberated Israel from bondage, who gave the law, and continues to demand justice for the vulnerable. God is also the one to whom we pray, who forgives sin and the ways we inflict the wounds on ourselves and others, and lifts us out of our shame. And of course, God is so much more than all this, some of which we cannot bear. But the Spirit, the Trinity, can and will, and will guide us into the truth of God. Because you see, our relationship with the Trinity is not just for our own good, but this loving circle into which we are drawn draws us in and moves us out into the world. And as Julian of Norwich put it so movingly, the Trinity suddenly filled my heart with the greatest joy, and I understood that in heaven it will be like that forever for those who come there. For the Trinity is God. God is the Trinity. The Trinity is our maker and protector. The Trinity is our dear friend forever, our everlasting joy and bliss through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.